Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hello, my friend. Today is such a great episode because it's a follow-up actually to the last few episodes where we talked about knowing your dream and really understanding what the vision is that you have in your heart and then actually planning for it in your business. So if you missed those, be sure to go back to episodes number 210 and 211 because this is a really good follow-up. You can still listen to this one without listening to those first, but I would really encourage you to go back and listen to those. In today's episode, we're actually talking about resting and building in time for rest in your business. And my guest today wrote a book called The Sabbatical Method, and she has a very unique take on the term sabbatical. You actually heard me mention this back in episode number 208, if you caught that one, where I talked about a health scare and how I used the sabbatical method in order to take time off in my business. So I was thinking about this idea of a sabbatical. If you're anything like me, I was thinking about the term in someone taking off a month or even several months, maybe because they have the financial means to do so and they're going on these big trips and that's what you see. Or other times people are forced to take a sabbatical, whether it's for a health or family reasons. And that was really the only way I had thought about a sabbatical. But today you're going to hear a very different view of what that term can mean and what it can mean for you, because it's really all about bringing in rest on a regular rotation in your business, so much more than just planning for a long time off, way off in the future. So let me tell you a little bit about the guest today before I turn the mic over to her. Allison Caffrey helps streamline the back-end operations for digital and creative agencies. She's the founder of Operations Agency, the co-creator of Operations Simplified Framework, and the best-selling author of The Sabbatical Method, How to Leverage Rest and Grow Your Business. She's also the host of the celebrated Growing Pains podcast, which is a great listen. And her and the team over at Operations Agency are determined to help businesses thrive profitably, serve more clients, and create high-performing teams. Allison is clearly great with talking about systems and helping businesses, but what I really love about this conversation is that she shares how even as the quote-unquote systems girl, she did not put systems into place in her business at first either. See, as an entrepreneur, it's really hard to do this, and she knows this firsthand because she dove in and created a business that needed too much from her, but she was able to turn the ship around and course correct, and so you can too. So maybe you're having a moment where you're like, oh gosh, this person's going to talk about systems, and I'm way too far down the path. I needed to do this earlier. She's going to talk to you about how you can turn that ship around or how you can put systems in place right away so that you don't get burnt out. Because no one is perfect, and I really love that Allison was so open with her story and sharing all the information she can, both in this conversation and in her book. And she does this in so many other ways as well. And speaking of, I am so excited to say that Allison actually shared even more tips and helps you implement doing this in your business as the day-to-day part of your business as part of an offering that I have called Beyond Goals Resilient Business Planning. See, these are happening live right now if you're catching this recording the week of October 16th. But if you miss the live option, there is going to be a DIY version available, and Allison's lesson is inside that option as well. So be sure to check out my website next week and get all of the access. All you have to do is go to amandamckinney.com/plan and you'll see all the details, and you can jump right in and do this in your own business. But for today, let's go ahead and hear from Allison. Thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to talk to you today.
Amanda, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
I love it. Ever since you and I connected, I have just been eating up all of your content, and I love what you're about, and I can't wait to get into it. But first, I would love to hear how you became an accidental entrepreneur and stumbled into this whole idea of being an entrepreneur.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you very much for the kind words, first of all. Second of all, right before we pressed record and you kind of like held up a copy of my book, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, it's just still so humbling and fun to see this in the homes of others. And so I have come such a long way, right? I always have to remind myself like how far I've come from, you know, starting on my own as a freelancer. So that is how I started. And I think most service providers, right, also start that way. I always do actually call myself an accidental entrepreneur. I love that you use that term so much, because my opinion is that unless you can find a really cool way to generate results for somebody, you probably don't have a good business idea in the first place, right? So I think a lot of us start off that way, right? We start getting results for clients, or we start making our products, and we're really out there and we're putting in all the hard work. And then all of a sudden, once enough people want to pay us, we're like, huh, okay, I need to manage either hiring a team or systematizing something into a project management software to make myself more organized, or like start marketing and building pages. And like, this goes outside of what I'm comfortable with. And so I did that. I rolled with the punches. I was at a 9-to-5 as an operations manager at a growing firm, and I moved. My husband was in the military at the time, and so we became, you know, not location dependent. And we were like, okay, well, maybe we could like go out on our own and do something. And actually, funny story, I was going to go to law school. So I broke off with this company, and I was going to actually go to law school. I was enrolled in an LSAT course at the time. I was like, I know this is my calling. I know this is what I'm going to do. Entrepreneurship was like so far from my brain. And then what happened was, is when I broke the news to my boss that I was going to be leaving, he asked me for a 90-day transition period. He was like, I need you to make sure that you have all the things that you're doing really streamlined and really documented so that somebody else can come in and take your place. And in 90 days, what I did was I really just revitalized that business. I gave them the foundation at the current revenue level that they were at in order to go to the next phase of their ascent. And now they do like deals with Grant Cardone and like all these crazy, fun, exciting things. And I think back to that moment, and actually I was just on socials like hitting up this founder the other day, and we were like chatting back and forth. And I was just like, you know, what a cool like relationship to create. So when I parted ways with that business, within 30 days, I was full, and I was a fractional COO for a bunch of growing businesses. So that was kind of how I stumbled into entrepreneurship, I guess, right? I was kind of just like, oh, cool, I could pick up some part-time work here while I'm doing my LSAT courses. And then all of a sudden, I was like dropping out of the LSAT course and like no plans to take it whatsoever, because things just started kind of going. And I was like, okay, I guess this is what I'm doing now.
Oh gosh, what a great story that is. And I love that you just followed the breadcrumbs. And I also really appreciate and shout out to that founder that was like, or whoever it was, your boss, that was like, we need you to stay for 90 days and do this thing. Because had that person not done that, you maybe wouldn't be where you are today by being asked that question of create this foundation that was so needed and so interesting that I don't know how long you were there, but it was never thought to do before, which is also really interesting.
Yeah, I was totally the person that everything flowed through, like for better or worse, right? It was this thing where everyone came to me to answer the questions and I had the contacts. I was there for 2.5 years and I was the first employee that was hired. So it was a whole thing where I was the EA and then I kind of came into the project manager internal position. Then I went into the operations manager position as we were kind of growing. And I think it was interesting because I got baptized by fire with basically every single aspect of the business. And I think I agree with you that had he not shown vulnerability and said, hey, listen, Allison, I really need you to stay, neither of us would be in the positions that we're in, at least not this far and this fast. I think it's really, really helpful to have some of those vulnerable conversations and really realize where we are in service of growing, right? In service of being really, really solid. So I think that was cool that he did that. And again, it totally, totally revitalized not only his business, but it also showed me what I was capable of in a really short period of time. I always say this, but like I always rise to the occasion. I've never been in a position where someone's been like, hey, listen, could you do this really hard thing? And I'm like, nah, that's just not for me. I'm going to phone it in. So that obviously is really helpful as you're starting your own thing, right? You're constantly tested every single day to be the best version of yourself and to move forward and all the stuff, right? There's a lot of pressure on entrepreneurs. And I think like the challenging thing is building a strong mindset and a belief around that what is happening is going to happen and that you just need to respond and that you're capable and that you can lead a team, that you can affect positively a subset of your market or whatever it is your situation is or your model is. And it's really, really empowering to just have that box checked, right? To just know that like, okay, I know that I will rise to the occasion. I know that I can do this. And it's gotten me through some pretty interesting growth years at operations agency, honestly.
I can only imagine all the stories that I can't wait for you and I to have over the next few years as we continue to stay connected. And what I love that just happened is you talked about rising to the occasion and taking it as it comes, and you never once used the word confidence. And the reason that I love this so dang much is because for several years, when I first started my business, I would ask people, what's your biggest struggle? I asked everyone that I ever came in contact with that question, and every single person, I mean, I would say like 95% of people said, I lack confidence. I don't know what to do next or whatever, but it all had to do with confidence. And I thought, okay, we've got to figure out how to uncover their confidence because I don't think anyone can give someone confidence. I think it's there. We just have to uncover it. But through working with so many entrepreneurs, what I realized is that confidence only comes after the courage to take the action. And so what you're talking about, that rising to the occasion, is that courage that people need to take the action before the confidence is there. Do you feel the same and do you approach it in that way?
Totally. Move toward the thing you want and then question what's going on as you're doing it. So it's interesting because one of the first coaches it was the first coach I ever hired in my business. He was specifically a messaging coach. And so I was like, how do I talk about operations in a way that people actually want, right? Because I say document your SOPs and they're like, oh, yawn. That's lame.
Right.
So I was like, hey man, how do I tell them that this will actually help them take control over their life and actualize their dreams and their goals, right? How do I do this? And so I remember talking with him about it and he was like, what you need to do is we need to stop in this incubator of let's move this word to this place and whatever. And you need to just go start talking to people about this and then see who responds really positively or who ends up working with you. And I was like, great. And so I remember him telling me that, and I've kind of kept that in every single thing that I do. Actually, I just got off of a call just before we hopped onto this podcast recording where I'm staffing a new member of my team. And I was like, listen, something that we do at operations agency is we iterate. Right? So we have a massive bias toward action and we always are in the spirit of giving really complimentary and helpful feedback so that none of us are afraid of starting, right? And we always know that we can edit, amend, change direction, whatever we feel like, and augment the way that we need. But unless we're moving, that path is not going to present itself to us.
Oh my gosh. Everything you just said, I am so happy this is recorded because the next time I'm interviewing someone, I'm going to take those words and scoop them right on up because that is so true. And we as entrepreneurs, whether we are alone in our business the solopreneur doing all the things before the team comes down the road. You know, we have to iterate. We have to not be so dang scared to take action. And I always like to acknowledge that at the time of this recording, it's 2023. I started my business in 2017. I was scared out of my mind, also excited at 2017. So when I say we have to move forward and push through and do the dang thing, this is 2023 version of Amanda. Mm-hmm. 2017 was more nervous, but I'm very proud of her for pushing forward. It probably took me longer. I probably overthought more than I do now, but she moved forward. Like, she took those initial steps that she was, you know, there and pushing forward. And so I 100% agree that we have to go into whatever it is, marketing, starting the business, testing out ideas for offerings. We have to just go and know that we can iterate later. I love those words.
Yeah, I think even too, like, we have a gift if our audience is small in the beginning, right? Consider the challenges and the higher stakes of having a gigantic audience in the very beginning, right? You don't get those reps in, you don't get to make the mistakes and clarify, so that when you get the opportunity after all of your hard work, after all of your consistency, to be in front of your dream audience or on your dream stage or launching your dream product, right? You have all of the lovely experience behind you. So I always say this to folks who are just starting out, or folks who are looking for their confidence, or folks who are like, I'm not exactly sure what's going on here or what I'm doing. I always say that if you are on the path to actualizing your dreams, you are in fact actualizing your dreams, right? Because all of these boxes need to be checked in order for you to achieve that thing. Every dollar that you save, every client that you help, every follower that you get on social media, every podcast that you put out, it builds and builds and builds and builds. You can't have a super booming podcast and a ton of downloads if you don't put in the work that goes is required before that, right? To actually grow your show. And I think so many of us miss that, right? It's like putting the roof on the house before the foundation is built. Like, we need all those steps in order for the other thing to be able to do its job, right? So I love thinking about it like that, because if I'm on the path to actualizing, I am in fact actualizing.
I love that. Another great phrase that will be in the show notes for sure. It's one of those quotes that's going to be pulled out for sure. So as you're talking about moving forward and chasing your dream and doing all these things, I am curious, because this happens often. It's happened to me, and I've seen it happen in many entrepreneurs' journey, that when something comes naturally to you and or you can do it easily, so I'm tapping into you putting together systems, you putting together those processes for that company, because he knew, I need Allison to do this, and you did it. You rose to the occasion and did it. I'm not saying it's always easy, but it's probably easier for you than someone else. Did you ever run into the thought, or close to it, if it's easy, I can't charge for it?
Interesting. No. I think it's
interesting. That's awesome.
It's interesting, I think, and I'll back out of it, because I think I know a lot of people who do this, right? They're like, oh, this is only going to take me an hour, or this is only this or only that. And I think we have to remove ourselves from charging for time or for low friction. We have to charge for the outcome it provides for another person, because I'm a terrible marketer. Sorry, I need to stop telling myself those things.
I was about to say,
marketing does not come naturally to me. So I have to really work at that. And it's actually the same thing. So if I equate this to my physical health, right, let's just consider this for a second. Flexibility does not come naturally to me. Running, however, does come naturally to me. So like cardiovascular health, I've always been a runner. It's always been the first thing whenever I'm in a lull of like being physical and moving my body, I always go out for a run. And I think it just helps me kind of decompress and do all the stuff. But however, stretching, I'm terrible. I'm not a naturally flexible person. I really need to put the effort in and block my time and like be really consistent and conscious about that. And the same is true with these types of things in your business. If you are an excellent marketer, but systems are really, really struggling for you, we need the holistic approach to health, like I mentioned before, and we need the holistic approach in business. So you're going to need to offset that somehow, whether it's being more disciplined or putting in a reward-based system for yourself to go and learn some of these skills, you know, hiring an external coach to come in and help identify some specific throughputs. And I think the better we can get at identifying what is the actual simplest way we can get results for clients, that actually is going to be the most valuable thing that you offer, that you can bring to the table. That's what's going to drive every single other thing forward. And I talk about this so much with my new clients, as I'm like, what are the things that come the most naturally to you and that actually fill you up with energy? Do those things all day long. Just do those things if you possibly can.
I love that. And I love how it weaves into the operational side, which we're about to dig into. But I want to just call attention to that. Anyone who was listening and was like, yes, I feel that, in terms of if it comes easy, or if it only takes me 15 minutes, or it'll only take me an hour, I shouldn't charge for X. Think about the result. I just want to really bring that home, because I have seen too many people that are early on in their business journey and they are stumbling in and they will not charge for the amazing outcome that they can provide to their clients. And it will paralyze you in business. Like, I have seen it too many times, and I just want everyone to hear Allison's words. Like, keep going, charge for the outcome.
Alex Hormozi talks about this actually pretty significantly in, I think it's Million Dollar Offers. He says, yeah, because Million Dollar Leads isn't out yet as at the time of this recording, but he talks about starting up a dental practice. And he's like, the first time that you go through and do your dental surgery, he was like, versus the 100th time that you go through and do your dental surgery, you're going to be faster, but you could charge more, because certainty comes in the amount of reps. So if you've done this 1,000 times, it seems simple and intuitive to you. It's actually more valuable to your market. And if you have an impacted molar or something crazy — I'm not a dentist, so I don't really know what I'm talking about — but if you have some crazy surgery that you need from your dentist, do you care if it takes him or her 15 minutes versus an hour, as long as it's solving your problem immediately? Like, no, we don't care. We'll just pay the price.
Yeah. And I would prefer it to take 15 minutes rather than an hour.
Exactly.
You know, as long as it's a good 15 minutes, you know, I'd rather be in, you know, out of that chair as quickly as possible.
Totally.
So yes, thank you for bringing that up. I'll make sure all of that's in the show notes too. So shifting gears into the operational side. So you have talked about how you created this business and help people with — I use the term SOPs as well, so it makes my heart very happy. I don't think it's dull. I love it, but I am not the majority. I recognize that. So I love the systems side of things. But so many people, specifically the ones that I work with, that are early on and really getting their footing in this whole entrepreneurial space, it's before the team. And I will just say, I did it as well, and all of us do it. It's like, I'll do that later. I'll think about that when I have a team. So I would love for you to share about systems and processes with the lens of the person who might be almost turning this off because they think it's before them.
I love that you've brought this up, because I think, right, we want to be in motion in all areas of our business before we need it, right? Think of it like a savings account, right? You want to deposit in there just in case. And when it becomes time to take a big chunk out to actualize some of your dreams, then that's when we want to make sure that that's there for us to access. The same is true for documentation and creating systems inside of the business. You want to make sure that you have a repertoire. I actually typically, to get super tactical for a second, I just make Loom recordings. And this is, to this day, I do this. And if we're pre-budget to hire a new person into operations agency, but I know that there's a growing need for someone in this direction, I'll be recording my screen if I'm doing it right now, or I'll encourage a team member like, hey, listen, if you want to hire a junior, go ahead and record your screen and let me know what you would offload for them, or make sure that those SOPs are updated and we can kind of put them together for somebody. So I would start recording my screen. And I would say, hey, listen, if I've done 15 website projects on my own, here are the best things that come out of them. Here's the typical time frame. Here's how I look for images. Here's how I wireframe things out, and be in a position to start to consider, like, what are the standards that you operate by? You don't need to have fancy SOPs. You don't need to have everything super documented down to the degree that your room is at when you do sales calls, because that's not going to be helpful. What's going to actually be helpful is to decide, like, what moves the needle for your clients? Because the best thing you can do in this kind of early stage of business, first and foremost, is identify how do I move the needle for the people that I'm serving, right? So that they come back with all the marketing material you will ever need to organically grow at this stage of the business. So if you're working by yourself, the only thing you need to do is obsess about client results and getting the perfect people in a seat to work with you. And that's it. Those two things specifically. And just record your screen. So fold your time, you know, fulfill on those client accounts, create a Loom account. It's free up to like 15 minutes, I think, but super low cost way to start to document some of your procedures. Then all of a sudden you have this savings account of sorts where someone can come into the business. If you need an EA, if you need somebody to help wireframe the sites for you, you can just give them that thing. And then you don't have to take all this extra time reinventing the wheel, training a new person, or whatever that looks like for you. It becomes so much easier to collaborate inside of the business.
Gosh, I love that. And I'll share a story about how I onboarded someone using that same method. But at first, I want to call attention that you said, if you're just trying to get started, the thing to obsess over is getting the client. And I'm going to have a long pause here so that everyone really, really gets that, because a lot of the time people are obsessing over posting on Instagram or doing something. And it's like, get the client, get the client, get the client, and document the crap out of what gets them results and what how they talk about it. I just love that you brought attention to that because it gives you the answers. And I would say if someone, I hopefully, is taking your advice and is like, okay, I'm going to start documenting this, that's also going to help you reflect on what the heck is working. Mm-hmm. Because often I'll ask someone, if someone comes to me and they're like, Amanda, I need more clients, XYZ. And I'm like, okay, how did you get the five you're working with right now? And if the answer is, I don't know, that's step number one, is figuring out how they found you and why they said yes and why they keep paying you. Mm-hmm. And it's like understanding that is so important, but we, and I'll point my own fingers, we all do this to ourselves. We jump to the next thing instead of reflecting back on what actually was working. Do you have anything to add to that, like, soapbox moment I just had right there?
Man, totally. And you know, I think this is going to hit home for a lot of people listening, especially in the beginning. I remember when I started my business, my husband was in basic training and he was in a second training. So he was in the military, we moved, and then he was in a second training to go to this elite force. And I remember sitting in my parents' house because I lived with them for 6 months while he did this training. And I will never forget, I was like putting together a website before I sent my first proposal for my first client who had like basically beat my door down for 2 weeks to work with me. And I was like, I gotta have my website up and I gotta have a social media and I gotta get a name and a logo and all these things. And I remember now looking back on that, thinking how crazy that is. And I think we experience these businesses and these brands after 10, 15, sometimes 30 years in business. And we need to realize that the way that they got started isn't by having this super buttoned up Instagram presence and all of these followers and all the things. It's really that they just went and told someone about a point of value that they could provide. And that person said, yes, I'm willing to pay for that. So just like go create relationships. Don't worry about the website. Don't worry about having it all together. Just the proof is in the pudding, right? Just go deliver.
Yes, it's so important, but yet it's so easy to forget.
It is.
I think it's because of what you just said is like we're looking at other examples that are past the point of where we are, mm-hmm. no matter where we are. Like it doesn't matter how many years you're in business. Most of us will look further and try and emulate what's going on further down the road versus where we are right now, which is why we end up moving forward. But it can really paralyze us from taking that initial action of just get the client, deliver, get the client, deliver, get the client, deliver, worry about the website later, whatever it is. So we need to remember that. And I want to come back to that story that, you know, I don't know how I came up with the idea because I didn't know you yet, but I used Loom to hire my first VA because I was like, I can't spend 4 hours with her today to onboard her. Mm-hmm. Instead, on the weekend before she started, I was like, I'm going to create all these Loom videos that tell her exactly what to do for these X, Y, and Z projects that she's going to be working on. And I am so thankful that I somehow had that idea to do that because I don't know where it came from, all other than I didn't have time. I didn't have time to meet with her. So I had to come up with the solution. Mm-hmm. And that was the solution. And it worked so well. She was even like, thank you so much. And, you know, you must have done this several times. And I was thinking, nope, that was the first time. Glad it worked.
Isn't it fun though? Because when you do these types of things and you know, right, you have a bias toward action and you set all these things up, even if it's just minor, someone else's experience of you, it doesn't need to be that you pull out all the stops and you have the fancy onboarding system and all the things. It's just transparency. If you're like, hey, this is what I'm expecting and this is where things are at right now, it builds trust. It builds trust really, really quickly, whether that's with a prospect, whether that's with a client, whether that's with a team member or a partner. It's just how that needs to go. And I think a lot of us are like kind of afraid to pull back the curtain and be like, oh yeah, this is just kind of what I've figured out by now. And that's more than nothing, right? It's actually really great progress. I think we actually do ourselves a disservice by not sharing those types of things.
Oh, I totally agree. And I definitely was open with her. Like I told her later, I was like, actually, this is the first time I've done that. So that was really helpful. And then when it was time for her to move on to something else and I was bringing someone else in, she recorded the Loom videos instead of me doing it because she had improved upon the process, right? Like I am not above someone else doing it better than I did. Beautiful. So she came in and was able to make it way better than me. And then it's in the hands of someone else now who's making it even better. And it's like, this is lovely. Because again, it's that zone of genius, right? Like my zone of genius is creating content. It is not scheduling things on a calendar. That is not my gift. And time zones throw me off, right? So I use that example all the time. And it's like figuring out how to bring someone in and they do it so much better and bringing in these processes. So having other people in eventually is super helpful. And I just love that we can think about it from the before stage, before we're ready. And I love that analogy of a savings account. Like if you waited to save money until retirement, it's a little late.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Or until, until you need it, right? It's just so interesting to me. I think back to my first hire, and she was just a contractor, my assistant at the time. And I was like, I just need some administrative support, like gathering all the client to-dos and projects. I was doing fractional work at the time. And honestly, had I not hired her at the time that I did, I would probably still be, well, that's maybe not true. I don't want to say this, but I would have done fractional work for a longer time. And I think I wouldn't have grown the business as quickly as I did because hiring somebody is also a forcing function through which you can crystallize your processes and say, okay, actually, this is how I prefer to do this. And they ask really good questions, questions that you may not have asked yourself as an industry expert that might need to be answered specifically too for your clients and your customers. So I actually personally think that inviting a person from outside, whether that's a contractor or an employee or even just a coach, right, to ask some of those critical questions and help you crystallize the way that you do things, it does help actually bring some more stability behind the scenes operationally as well.
Oh gosh, I agree 100%. Every single time I've had a contractor come in, I've never had a full-time employee at the time of this recording, maybe later, but not yet. But every time I've brought in a contractor, they ask questions and I'm like, I have never thought about that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I will get back to you tomorrow. Like, I just have to think about it. But it's always such a great question because it solidifies everything. I mean, down to like who I work with. You know, they'll ask a question like, well, what do they think about this thing? And I'm like, I actually have no idea, but I'll go, that's the next thing I'll figure out. And I totally agree. Having that outside person looking in is so helpful.
Yeah.
So I want to shift gears and talk about this amazing, amazing book. So it's called The Sabbatical Method, and I love it. It's so pretty and very useful. So when I got this book, I was like, I can do this in 90 days because that's not what it says on the front, at least to my knowledge. It doesn't say it on the front. And I was like, so I didn't prepare for that. I look at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to walk me through this process in 90 days. And I just loved it. So thank you for putting this together. But the first question I have is, how would you tell someone what a sabbatical is? Because I had a very different thought in my mind before I started reading your book.
Yeah, it's funny. So I kind of redefined the term a little bit in the book, which is really cool. So whenever I talk with somebody about what is a sabbatical, they either have one of two pictures in their brain. They either think of Fortune 50 CEOs who take these luxurious 6-month sabbaticals and they have access to lots of resources and lots of things. And then they also think of being basically voluntold to take off from your business, whether they've hit a proverbial brick wall or they've experienced burnout or something like that, where they physically or mentally aren't able to be present and functional within their position. And so the reason I wrote this book is because, transparently, high performers in any capacity, whether that's physical, in a business, whatever else, rest is a critical function of high performance. And I think we can use rest, i.e. a sabbatical, to basically create the full pie of productivity and performance and be able to reach the next level inside of our business. And the function of rest inside of any high-performing physical plan is to literally rebuild and repair your muscles for the next training. That is also true of systems inside of your business. I think that's the core function of how we need to operate, because small businesses, they break everything, and they should break everything if they are growing, right? The thing that we need to master isn't the operation structure of our small business that should stay forever intact and always shiny new and all the things. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching a process for repair, because we should be breaking. We absolutely should be breaking. We should be going to new revenue points. We should be hiring new team members, developing new departments, developing new products and services, doing new partnerships, doing new joint ventures. Absolutely, that should be happening. And we're going to traverse new ground every single day. But the one constant thing that we absolutely need is we need momentum and we need rest, right? We need those pushes and we need the time to repair. And I think rest is so undervalued. And the reason why I redefined the term sabbatical is because I think if we can give our business micro hits of rest and build that muscle over time, we can access that kind of middle ground between the two sabbaticals I described. We can access the benefits of the Fortune 50 CEOs and avoid the burnout, all the health crises, and all the things.
I love that you redefined it, because I needed that redefining moment in my life. And before you and I hit record, we were talking about this, and you said, you know, someone could start as small as the weekend and saying, I'm going to shut the computer off on Friday and not open my email until Monday. That, my friend, is a sabbatical. Yep. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is such a mind-blowing moment. And when this podcast is going to go live, when this interview is going to go live, we're going to be talking about annual planning. And I would love for you to kind of tap into that idea of how can someone who is at this stage of their business, maybe they have a team, maybe they don't, but how can they build in rest and with those systems so that they can have the month-long sabbatical they dream of or whatever it is down the road?
Yeah, so it's super important to, first and foremost, as you're planning your year and as you're planning your quarter, identify what is your priority. I call this the 90-90 principle, and it's 90 minutes of focus for 90 days. Period. It's super elegant. It's super simple. And I typically create, and this is for every person on my team, including myself, I create a mission statement for the quarter that says, I will grow revenue by X percent this quarter, or I will launch a book this quarter. And what I do in the 90 minutes for 90 days is I only focus on that project. I don't ping pong back and forth through 9,000 things. I define one singular focus, and everything else that I'm doing inside of the business flows and funnels through that filter that says, does everything else I'm doing in my day serve this function? If no, it's pushed. And so we have to be ruthless in our pursuit of what we are doing. And especially if we are pre-team, right? Because we only have the hours that we are available and awake. And so what you can also do to establish rest is something that I didn't do, transparently, before I had my first son. I used to work like 70-hour work weeks. I would work into the evenings. I always said I wasn't a morning person, but it was mostly because I was like staying up until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, doing lots and lots of work for my clients and trying to get things in before the next day when everybody sat down at their computer. And I was really burning the candle at both ends. And it wasn't until I welcomed my first son and we were sitting in the hospital, my husband snaps this picture of me holding our son, And the next frame, he had fallen asleep. I put him down in the bassinet and I'm like on my phone answering emails and texts for my clients. And it was super confronting, honestly, as the systems girl, that this wasn't all kind of figured out before I welcomed my first son. And at first, I kind of wore it as a badge of honor. I was like, oh yeah, I'm so dedicated. I'm so, you know, helpful to my clients. I'm so necessary, right? That I can't take the time. But really what I realized was that by working those 70-hour weeks, I built a business that needed 70 hours worth of time. And I didn't have that. And so unless I was willing to duplicate myself or hire new people at a rapid rate, I built this thing that required that of me. So what I could have done better and what I encourage my clients to do is build the business that requires 30 hours of your time. Right? If you only want to work 30 hours, you hold the keys. So you can plan your quarter to say, okay, here's what I'm focusing on for my 90-90 principle every day, 90 minutes, 90 days time. And I'd like to work 30 hours. How do I make that possible? Do I need to invest more in marketing and get more eyeballs so I can grow my revenue and hire a team? Do I already have a high revenue point and I have some bandwidth to be able to remove myself from some things and put a team member in? Do I need to outsource some stuff? Do I need to like white label with another company so that they can take over some of the things that I'm doing? So there's lots of creative solutions that you could come up with as long as you are willing to set the boundaries. I do this in a couple ways. I block every single Friday. I do not connect on Fridays with anything that I have to do. I call it Family Fridays. I get to schedule some fun projects and things certain times, but for the most part, I'm hanging with my kids on Fridays. I infamously don't work on Fridays. I do not work on the weekends and I do not work past 6 p.m. Period. It just doesn't happen. And when I feel like I'm being pulled in, it's for one of two reasons. Either one, we're in a weird state where maybe somebody has left or maybe something comes up. Because I'm not saying you're never going to break these rules. What I'm saying is that by having them, you're going to course correct a little bit faster, right? I can recognize when I'm working into the evenings and I know that I need a new person. I can recognize when my Friday's filled with calls that I need a new enrollment coach, right? So like those types of things will help you understand what the next move is in the business. And it'll help you stay true to what's really important in your life, right? Your personal relationships, the things that really, really matter. And as you're planning your year and as you're getting in and planning your quarter, those need to be top of mind or they're going to fall completely to the back of the queue.
Oh gosh. And I think what happens is what we were talking about earlier. Oh, I need the website. I need Instagram. I need all these things because everyone else is giving you the task list instead of you giving it to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so what you're talking about is so wonderful. And I use the same system of 90 days and 90-day goals. And so this wraps really nicely into that. I've never had a mission statement for each 90 days, and that's awesome. So we'll be doing that for sure. But I just love this idea of prioritizing and understanding that when you, I know there are certain circumstances that don't fit this, but when you are a full-time entrepreneur and running this business for whatever full-time means to you, you get to choose when you work. That was the part of probably the thing that you wanted the most when you created the business and that you're implementing the least is what I see. I mean, I did the same thing until I put some boundaries in place. And so we need to do that, but it is very hard to do later. And so this is one of those systems that, gosh, if you're early on, you can like, you can probably scale your business super fast in a way that is awesome because you're starting early with setting these boundaries and moving forward. Gosh, this is so good.
I really hope. I hope that anybody listening who's looking for a way to weave this in thinks that this is a simple and elegant solution. It's not going to happen overnight. I will be encouraging in that way, right? Don't beat yourself up if you work a few evenings here and there, but really try to trend in the right direction.
Right. Oh gosh, yes. So many good things. And I'm going to make sure that all of this, all that you've talked about, your book, your podcast, which we didn't even talk about, but it's there. All of this will be linked in the show notes. But I also know that everyone's going to want to learn more from you. So where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, of course. I'm on all the socials, Allison Caffrey, and my main website for our service based on systems is operationsagency.com. That's where I'm most active and serving folks. Is where you can snag a copy of the book. There's a direct link to Amazon. If you're looking for a little more systems and rest in your life and you're looking for the next phase of how this could go, I'm just so excited to have the opportunity to discuss here with you, Amanda, and you have an amazing community.
Oh, I really do. I mean, everyone listening is so awesome. I'm so lucky that they found me on the internet and now they know who you are. And I highly recommend everyone get a copy of the book because it is amazing. And when you're listening to this, you're about to plan your year. You're going to be doing all these things. So grab a copy of the book and use this 90-day system right alongside whatever it is. Maybe your first 90 days is let's set up systems in the business. And that could be a great goal that will set you up for long-term success. So thank you, Allison, for all that you shared.
Yeah, of course, Amanda. I had such a good time. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I enjoyed having it. I feel like I could have talked to Allison for hours and hours and hours. And fortunately, she and I have stayed connected ever since we had this interview. And I have seriously learned so much from her, not only just because we've continued to talk, but I'm seeing her do this in her business. If you follow her on Instagram, which I highly suggest, you'll see how she implements and really pulls in the rest and really everything that she talks about in terms of systems into her business, because what you see more on Instagram is how she's hanging out with her kids and her husband and how she's meal prepping. She really does have this as a balance. She's not one of those people who tells you something to do and doesn't actually implement it. She's actually doing this and you can see it on Instagram. So be sure to check her out there. But what I want you to think about in terms of your next step after listening to this conversation is to think about what a sabbatical means to you. Do you want to prioritize not working on the weekends? That was such an aha moment for me when I thought, that's so interesting. So many people probably automatically work on the weekends and don't even think it's possible. And there may be a season where you can't do that. Maybe you have a full-time job and you're trying to transition into your side hustle and really making that the thing that you want to transition into eventually. And the weekends are when you can work. The nights and weekends are what you have to do for a season. But knowing that you don't want to do that forever, what can you do now to help you prioritize doing that? Another thing is she was asking, you know, do you want to work 30 hours a week instead of 70? You know, she caught herself working 70 hours a week and she really wanted to back it down. And so asking yourself what a sabbatical means to you is going to help you stay focused and really understand what you want to build into your business in terms of rest. And if you want to learn even more, because we really just barely touched the surface on what the sabbatical method is and how you can work through it, I highly recommend buying her book. It's a very cost-effective way of learning from Allison and implementing the idea of the sabbatical method into your life and into your business. Like I said, I bought this book when I knew I had to take a month off due to a health reason. And I went through this and created my scorecard and did all these things so that I could get these systems into place and have a better system. Even though I had a lot of systems in my business already, I even wanted them to be better. When I come back from the time off, I'll have a better system that I can slide right back into. So I highly recommend buying her book. It's called The Sabbatical Method. You can find it on Amazon and lots of other places. I'll make sure to also link it in the show notes as well. And really remembering that you can take the time to pause and really understand what you want to do in your business and create the schedule that you'd like. It may not be able to happen right now, and that's okay because it just means it's a season. But if you know what to aim for, you can actually get there. So sit down, take some time, maybe over the holidays, and think about what your dream schedule would look like. And until next time, give yourself permission to take a sabbatical that works for you and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.